chapter, verse number 24 of chapter number 6. The Bible said, it came to pass that after this, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all of his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, and they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor?" Of course, he knew that was empty, see. "Out of the wine press?" Knew it was all gone. And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered and said, "This woman said unto me, 'Give thy son that we may eat today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.'" Now you talk about going downhill, they're resorting to cannibalism. "So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her that on the next day, 'Give thy son that we may eat him.' And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass that when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within and upon his flesh. Then he said," look at it, "'God do so and more to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day.'" But you talk about wanting to blame the preacher for it. That's who he is. That's what he done. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on when the enemy returns. Now, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but every now and again on a Sunday, I'll go out somewhere and we'll pick up something, carry it home for lunch. Sometime we eat, but rather than the muss and the fuss, we just carry it and go on home. So in the day, today we went by and seen Miss Diane, and so we circled around down Appleby's Sand, went down whatever that road is to cut through there to go to the hospital. And down there, whenever you pass the Home Depot thing, on the left down there, is that a Catholic church or is that some other kind? And they had, Betty, a great big to-do, and they called it a multicultural festival. And I'm telling you right now, it looked like a fun place to be. They're blind to the fact that whenever you look out across there and you see that no multicultural society has ever been able to exist. You know what that is? That's every religion. That's every nationality. That's every ethnic group you can ever meet. That means everybody from the joke to the woke and bang is what they've got going on. I want to say to you that, if you will, that in the day and hour that we're living in, there's no wonder that God is angry with the wicked every day, and certainly he's got to be angry with America and the condition that we're in. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, you'll find out that here's a chapter that deals with a man by the name of Elisha. You know, he's the one that Elijah's mantle fell upon. He said, "What can I do for you? I'd like to have a double portion of whatever it is you've got." Now, what a good testimony that was and desire. So the Bible said he's going there around Dothan, and the Bible said that he's surrounded. The Syrians are all around. They're everywhere. They're breathing down Israel's throat, and no doubt they're going to think about somehow or another destroying them. Those people that were with Elisha, they were a little bit afraid. And if you look in verse 16 to 17, he prayed to the Lord that God would open up their eyes. And whenever they did, the Bible said, verse 16, and he answered, "Fear not, they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire that were round about Elisha. I got to tell you something tonight, that if you and I could get a glimpse of whatever God's got going on in the world of the unseen, it would make us feel a whole lot better about ourselves and about our safety. Years ago, I was thinking about, there's a passage over there, where is it, in Psalm, is that you'll find, "Except the Lord kept the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Remember that? Listen, if you're dependent upon anybody in humanity, I don't give a rip if it's the army, the police force, or whoever that it is. If you're dependent upon humanity beside the Lord, you're in for a rude awakening. In this Bible lesson, you'll find is that you'll find that the hand of Syria, they got to where that they made, they set up somewhere an entrapment. They was going to wait for the king of Israel to be able to go by. But there's Elisha, and he would tell the king's man, don't go that way because the Syrians are laying in wait for you there. And of course, every time that the Syrians had their little plan foiled, is that it made them mad. And finally, one of them says, I want to know who's the traitor in our camp. And they said, it ain't a traitor in our camp. Oh, king, I'll tell you who it is. It's that man by the name of Elisha down there in Dothan. He's the one that that God's telling him what you're going to be doing. And he's telling the king of Israel what's going to be done. And as a result of that, all your plans have been turned upside down or have failed. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at now, you'll find that Behinadab is about to go ahead and do something different. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to go ahead and bring all of his hosts, not just a few here and a few there, but he's going to bring everybody. And let me tell you right now is that he's going to besiege Samaria. You'll find out they got to be able to look it out across there. And man, I'm telling you that here are so many of these Syrians that are there. And the Bible said that while Behinadad gathered all of his hosts together to besiege Samaria, is that, let me tell you what the feeling of besiegement is. Every day they're getting a few more and a few more and a few more. And let me tell you right now, what they did was is that they were having to look at that enemy every day of their lives. I got to say to you, it's a crazy, godless, wicked world that we're living in. You see that on the news to where that somebody was out in the yard and shooting a gun. And the man asked if we're trying to get a baby to sleep and all of that, could you please hold some of that down? He said, I'll shoot anywhere I want to and blah, blah. And finally come walking up to that man's house, shooting inside the house, so forth and on, killing, what, an 8-year-old girl? Is that the place that happened to that? I just said all that to be able to say, what a godless, what a wicked world that we're living in the day and hour we're living in. That's the reason why some of you ought to be able to not going around giving the California wave whenever they pull out in front of you and cut you off, shaking your fist or sticking up your finger. We live in a crazy world, buddy. A crazy world. Brother Darren and I was on our way back from somewhere at one time. That's right. And listen, I mean, tell you, we wasn't bothering anybody. And that old boy there, he went to shooting us. And I was sitting there, you know, and I thought, and I started praying, Lord, please don't let me kill this man. You see what I'm telling you? I mean, there he is, you know, rant and a raving, wanting us to get out of the truck, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, we was ready to move on if we possibly could. Did absolutely nothing to him whatsoever. Is that whatever problem he had before we ever left from where we were going, leaving and going to where we were going. He had that problem when he left home. There wasn't anything we did to harass him. I got to say to you that, if you will, that we live in a world that I'm talking about that is godless and wicked, and human life is cheap. Now, in this lesson you're looking at, they don't care that Israel is in there and besieged in Samaria. And let me tell you, every day got a little few more. They got a few more. And finally, all the hosts are there. And do you know what happens whenever you're besieged and can't get out and buy nothing? You finally go to running out of food. You finally go to running out of commodities that you need to sustain life. You finally go to running out of water. You know, I walk in the house, I tell my wife, look, every time you go up, buy an extra case of water every now and again, buy an extra box of this or that every now and again. And let me tell you, I don't care how many boxes and cases that we do get, is that sooner or later, that's all going to run out. We're living right now in a dangerous time, and it's going to be a scarcity of what's going on. Do you know how long it took me to be able to save $100? Now the government's trying to get it. By just saying, if you don't turn it in, we'll just go ahead and make it devalued. It won't be worth nothing. I got to tell you right now is that in the day and hour that we're living in, is that you'll find they've got us surrounded. But boy, don't you get your eyes on who's got us surrounded. You better get your eye on he that's got them surrounded. And recognize and know that thou art God in heaven and beside thee there is none else. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you something, is that when you're surrounded by the devil, and we are, now let me tell you right now, the sinner is lost without God. He's surrounded by the devil and cannot get away from him and cannot escape. Well, that's kind of the thing that's going on here. The devil's got the people of God surrounded. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, in verse number 25, there's a great famine, it said. Now the supply of food's being gone. It's being depleted. In fact, is an ass's head, that's an unclean animal in the eyes of an Israelite. And an ass's head was selling for a high price. And what was it? For four pieces of silver. Dove's dung. I don't know if that's the same thing as iguana. That's bat droppings. But dove's dung. They were scraping that up, and they were selling that, trying to be able to. You'd be surprised. You say, man, I'm never going to eat nothing like that. I'll tell you what you'll do is, if your belly goes to eating out your backbone, you can't get nothing whatsoever. These people got so desperate that they were finally resorting to cannibalism. And one woman sold the idea, we'll eat your son today and we'll eat my son tomorrow. And boiled their son. Now, I'll tell you something, is that the hungry belly of a Jewish woman won't be no different than you and I if you're hungry enough. Now, let me say to you that, if you will, please, I don't know if there's any nutriments whatsoever in dog manure. We've got enough chicken manure, duck manure, dog manure, and cat droppings. That's a little harder to find cat droppings because they generally cover their business up. I got a dog's not ashamed to drop it out. Fact is, I thought, well, my word, who's been out here playing with the hula hoop? That's how long it was. But it was just my dog having her regular, normal cycle. I can tell because whenever you step in it, you can't get it off and all that. And then I got in trouble a time or two because I thought I had all of it off. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that finally these are people that are desperate. They're starving to death. Listen, the king, Behenadad, he wasn't saying to his army, I tell you what, dude, we're going to starve the city anytime. No, we're going to starve them out. I think we got some leaders in our country just that godless, just that wicked. And that's what they're planning on doing. In this lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said that, if you will, is that he said, I tell you what, you know whose fault this is? Yeah, that preacher's fault. They wanted to blame it on Elisha. And let me say to you that finally, whenever they got him, in verse number 1 of chapter 7, Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. And thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Of course, the king didn't believe it. You know, we have trouble every now and again just believing God and the word of the Lord. And he had trouble believing it, made light of it. And the old prophet of God told him, said, you're going to be able to see it, but you're not going to be able to eat of it. And those men that were lepers, remember them? They weren't allowed inside the city, so they were outside. And finally, one of them said, why do we want to sit right here till we just dry up and die? If we stay here, we're going to but die. If we go into the city and they kill us, we but die. We'd be better off to take off and go there into the camp of the Syrians. I mean, all they're going to do is kill us. We're dying anyhow. And they got over there to where the camp of the Syrians was, and they got to noticing a bunch of garments that had been thrown in the way. And they got to noticing that the Syrians weren't there. Their tents were empty. All their belongings were there. And they went inside, and they began to gather up everything they could gather. And they'd carry it out, and they'd hide it in another tent. And finally, one of them came and said, you know what? We're not doing well here. We're living high on the hog and got food to eat and spare. And the people of God are sitting over there, have no idea what's going on. I'm going to tell you, that's where we're at in America. We've heard the gospel enough times in the last little while to save the world several times over. We dare not be those that hoard everything for ourselves and hide everything from the rest of the world in the message of the gospel. I want to say in closing that, if you will, is that one of them said, we better go tell them what's going on here. And so they did. And as you read the rest of the chapter, the rest of the story, is that they all came running out. See, those Syrians, they got to hearing in their mind the noise of horses running and chariots. And they got to thinking, because of the Lord putting it on them, is that the king of Israel has hired the Egyptians and some people against us. And as a result of that, they took off running. As we close tonight, I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, that old king showed up. And the Bible said that whenever he went there, he could see, he couldn't believe what he was seeing. He didn't believe what he had heard. Now he don't believe what he's seeing. And they trode upon him and trampled him to death in the gate. He saw plenty that he could have had to nourish his body, and he didn't get to eat a bite of it because of his unbelief. Now, I want to say to you in closing here this evening, there's a passage over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And if you've got a moment, I want you to turn to that. And over there in 2 Chronicles chapter number 32, and it's about verse number 7. Here's what he says concerning this event. He said, be strong and courageous, and be not afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help the people, rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Let me say to you, it doesn't make any difference if you're the king of Israel, the king of Judah. The enemy's the enemy, always has been, always will be, and God's ever going to be the same. Remember that over there in the book of Romans, in the book of Romans in chapter number 8, about verse number 31. It closes out, and here's what he finally ended up saying. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get too bogged down and want to just punch the TV out because of what's going on. I don't think it's safe to be ignorant about what's going on. Saying, I don't want to know what's going on. Well, that's not going to keep you safe from it. A prudent man looketh well to his going. I want to be able to know somewhat of what's going on. Sometimes I do get a little irate, and no doubt it goes to really getting under my skin. That's when I turn to gun smoke. One thing about it, I've learned something by gun smoke. I know y'all take it light. I've learned something about gun smoke. You do not have to be the fastest shooter. You just have to be the most accurate. You ever notice that at the first of that, in nearly all of them? The other guy shoots first. It's like this. Boom, boom. The only reason why he got his shot off, because the other guy's not that good a shot. That's true. I want to tell you something right now. There's a lot of good shots out there, and they're shooting their mouth off every day, blasphemy against God. And I got to tell you right up front is that he's a God of war. And the old black fella said, and you can't whoop him. I'm glad to know that I'm his and he's mine. I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound. Hey, I like that song that he sang, he called my name. I remember when he done it. I mean, it's so real and so vivid and all of that business there. I knew it ain't my sister, it ain't my brother. It's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word tonight. Lord, how we pray and beg you that you'll help Brother Eddie now in his surgical procedure, Brother Ray in his surgical procedure, Aunt Sissy and these others that we've been praying about. And dear God, may you have your will and your way and bring glory and honor unto yourself. May you do something so miraculous for them that only you can get the credit for it. We'll say thank you for all you've done in Jesus' name.